The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but smile, because you might be on candid camera. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, media is the acronym for making everyone dumber in America. Boy, that is true. Also, life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I was bored and I needed something to do. Thank you very much. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy there. Here, we'll keep it simple. What can our prayer warriors pray for you about? That's right. You need prayer on something? The people are here. The voices are here. The commitments are here. The prayers are here. If you got something going on, let's bring it before the Lord with faith. Let's give it out to the audience. Give them a chance to pray and to saturate in the power of prayer and watch heaven break into the existence of earth and change life. That is pretty outstanding. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We find that to be sad. Instead, just give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like hitting into the week with great faith and expectation. So as you go into this week, don't have this, I don't know what's going to happen, attitude. Have this, yes, I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and great things are going to happen. Isn't that a good way to start the week?
Yes, it is. Thank you, David, and happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, brother. Here we go. A couple things we want to make sure you understand. If you don't want to call, it's okay. We're not going to take our ball and go home. You can still text us, yeah, live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming up now, because I really like to do the non-professional voice too. And here it is. 214-210-8483. Kind of a very robotic, mean machine voice right there. Additionally, you can also send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. www.thefollowingprogram.org. That's kind of how you go. That is a great way to get us an email. I will see that on my really fancy 22-cent, 21-cent, 19-cent, 16-cent Chromebook. It's only worth 19 cents because the light comes on and the hinges still work. The rest of it, meh, not that great. All right, additionally, we want to send you up to the website, and there's so much to cover, so just be patient. Just deal with it for a little bit. A couple things to tell you right off the bat. So if you're in San Diego, it's 11:36 and 28 seconds. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:36 and 30 seconds. You can reach out to us during the show at any point. Here's what we're going to tell you. We're going to send you to the website because on the website is cool stuff, and cool stuff is always cool. And so we have different responses to things that are going on in the world. We have encouragements. We have people who've had struggle. They're struggling with sin. We have some encouragements, wisdoms, and teachings along those lines. There's articles. There's videos. There's audio. Why? There's almost everything, including a playing deck, only there's not really a playing deck. But there could be if we ever put one on there. We want you to check it out. Plus, we want you to partner with us. Now, you're thinking, wow, it's always about money. Money, 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 money. Don't give a penny if you have that attitude. We don't want it. We only want the money that has a person's heart of giving attached to it. How about that? Give it anywhere else if you've got that, they only want money attitude. If you want to partner in this ministry, you can go on the website. You click on donate. All you got to do is follow the prompts. If you have any problems, you can always talk to us directly. It's pretty simple. The scripture that we're using for today for partnering in the ministry of the kingdom of God is this, 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctant or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Woohoo! That kind of attitude. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
That's what all the people did after the amazing Lions survived. They got up and bounced out of their chair. I didn't know if we want to take this moment now or not to give Jake's take an opportunity. Do you have anything you want to say? Because there was an interesting sporting event yesterday. I mean, there was a bunch of them. What do you think, brother?
Along with NFL football, we had the Rangers game one of the ALCS.
And what was that score? How did that go?
They beat Houston 2-0. So they're up 1-0 in the series, and play again today, actually, at 3:30.
Wow.
Yeah.
At 3:30. Okay, folks, that's Jake's take, and I want you to know he keeps us informed on the things that are going on there. I think Dallas, the Cowboys, are also playing this evening,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yep, the Cowboys are playing the Chargers tonight.
Yeah, so the Chargers? Wait, Dallas, former San Diego Chargers, now the L.A. Chargers. I'm sorry. They mean nothing to me now. Yeah, they didn't mean that much to me before. Anyway,
the Cowboys should win, but I mean, you never know with how bad they looked last week.
Yeah. You should. You could. You know, I mean, everybody else losing, but the Lions looking. Look, I just want to say, go Lions.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If they go into the playoffs and they win, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back like the next hour.
I think the best I've ever seen the Lions do was make the playoffs, but they didn't win a playoff game. I don't think I've ever seen Detroit won a playoff game.
Well, let me just say this. The reason we always have hope, Barry Sanders. It's no longer true, but it was.
Yep.
It was true. All right, let's get into this. There's so much to cover. We are in, listen to this, the last teaching in 1 Timothy. Now, I want you guys to know so you can know what's going on. Stay with me on this one. We're doing the last teaching on 1 Timothy. Next week, we're going to start Titus. Then when we finish Job, which is 6 weeks away, we're going to start Genesis. Then in 6 weeks also, we're going to finish off another book, which is amazing, Galatians, and we're going to go into Romans. So we're going to be looking at Titus, and we're looking at Genesis and Romans. So get ready. A lot of cool teaching coming our way, we hope. Anyway, let's get into it. We're in 1 Timothy. We're in chapter 6. And we're at 8, critical, not a critical, but a very important point, let's say it that way, and from verse 15. And let's just make sure we understand what's being said and follow it along. 15 says, but he will manifest in his own time, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, and to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. First thing Paul's doing in his big wind down is talking about who got the power. Who's got the power? That's a big, big issue. Because as we're concluding this, we find out that Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, is the sole possessor of immortality.
What?
Only Jesus holds immortality. It's crucial for people to realize that the so-called fountain of youth is not your answer. We got a billionaire who thinks he's going to live forever because he's taking all these drugs and all these things. Got a message for you. Wrong answer. The key to eternal life is solely with Jesus Christ, who solely is able to bestow immortality because he, wait, this is so cool. Think of it this way. He holds immortality. And so it is only through Jesus Christ that there is immortality available. And watch this. And the scripture says in verse 15, who alone holds immortality. man thinks, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. No, you're not. All right, well, this is going to happen. Nope. This is gonna, nope. Zip. Nope. Zip. Nope. www.zipit.com. No, not going to happen. Only Jesus can give that as the gift, as he, being raised from the dead forever, holds the keys of death and Hades and is the only one in charge of immortality. Oh, now you see why people need to come to Jesus. Because the immortality Jesus is talking about is a life-giving, full of excitement, full of anticipation, full of awesome sauce, eternal life. Come on. And just because people are this particular way, because they think, well, I'm wealthy, I'll figure it out how to live forever. And that's exactly, by the way, what the wealthy do. Once they've made enough money and they don't think that the money is really going to answer, because they already know money is not the answer, then they try and figure out a way to live forever. That's ironic because the very next verse talks about commands to rich people. Yeah, that's right. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing. Verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Let them be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. So the first thing Paul says after he just lays down the theology, look, immortality, only through Jesus. By the way, got to tell the rich people, he doesn't hate rich people. Let's stop that. What he hates is rich people who trust in their riches, who turn their face from God, who make the pursuit of money their entire life. And Paul's like going, bad idea. That's bad. And you know what it is. Everybody's going to say, Dave, we got to do this. We got to pay this. So, yeah, when Jesus went through that temptation and the devil tried to get him to change in after not eating for 40 days and 40 nights, change the rock into bread. Change this into bread. I mean, it's just bread, folks. Give me a break. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, thereby putting the spiritual man's needs ahead of the natural man's. I don't like that, Dave. Tough. Nobody's asking whether you like it or not. So that's not what's being discussed. And so he tells those that are rich in this present age, hey, don't be haughty and don't trust in uncertain riches. What do you mean uncertain riches? I know, and I don't want to say this, but one really bad catastrophe in any central location place in our United States or anywhere else in the world, and the money system's gone.
One shot, 1 hour, everything can be wiped out. Don't be so, you know, God cannot be wiped out. Man's money system, sure it can. Well, what about having all these different precious metals? Fantastic. But if it comes down to survival, I'm not sure gold will be the answer. I'm thinking God will be the answer. Your answer is not gold, it's God. Do you get that? There's only one big G. Everything else is small. And so he says, but in the living, so we're supposed to trust in the living God who gives richly all things for us to enjoy. God gives you stuff to enjoy. He wants you to have, not the whole life is not a party, party, party. But he wants you to enjoy the life as long as you're in fellowship with him and communing with him and not letting anything you have possess you, but you possess it as an instrument, a tool to bring glory to his name. He wants that to be a blessing for you. And then he says this to the rich people, and he's not pulling it back. He goes, hey, do me a favor, man. Be rich in good works. Be ready to give and willing to share. And do yourself a favor and store stuff up for what's coming. Wait a minute. Store stuff up for what's coming? What are you talking about? People often forget that when we contribute to kingdom works in whatever fashion, time, talent, or treasure, we're storing up treasures in heaven. And this aligns exactly with Jesus' teaching and his instruction on how to live our lives. By storing treasures in heaven, we prepare for what is yet to come. A wise investment is one that yields the highest return for the longest period of time. This undoubtedly includes any contributions made to the kingdom of God. How powerful is that? Like, oh man, that is some powerful stuff. All right, take a breath. Let's do a trivia question. Here we go. Who were the two that were crucified with Jesus? What were their quote-unquote bad professions? Were they assassins? Were they thieves? Or were they Samaritans? The two that were crucified with Jesus. Were they assassins? Were they thieves? Or were they Samaritans? Your answer, of course, is going to be Matthew 27. Probably want to look around, around verse 38-ish or so. If you think you know the answer, you can simply call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8477. 8-3. That's 214-210-8483. You can also send an email right now while you got a chance. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. The trivia question, the two that were crucified with Jesus, were they assassins? Were they thieves? Or were they Samaritans? We do have somebody on the line. We're going to give them a chance to answer that question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Fred. How are you today, sir?
I am doing great, Fred. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
I love it when you call, brother. I hope you are having a phenomenal, I hope you had a phenomenal weekend, and I hope you're looking forward to a phenomenal week. That's my prayer for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, sir.
You got it. All right, ready? The two that were crucified with Jesus, were they assassins, thieves, or Samaritans?
David, they were thieves.
That is correct, Amanda!
And can I say something about that? I know they usually preach this at Easter time, but I like the story behind it. Because they said there were two thieves. There were three men on the cross. One died in sin. The other died to sin. And the third one died for sin.
That's great.
I love it that the one that died for sin, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Amen. Excellent job. Very, 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 very good. Excellent statement. Very good, Fred. Great, great, great way to say that. Excellent job, brother. Way to start the week, man.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, bro.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Excellent work. Okay. And people, when I say, like, if I text you or if I say something on the air like excellent work, that's not like work like you're working. You know, it's like excellent job kind of. Okay. Every once in a while, you got to remind people. We're relatively normal. Well, I don't know. I don't have any relatives that are normal, so I really can't say that. All right, so let's go back to the text. Great job, Fred. Here we go back to this text. And this is what I want you to catch, because this is like two really powerful points. And you know I could spend way more time doing it, but you guys, we're at the close of the text. And so the first thing is, hey, Jesus alone holds immortality. Let's keep that in mind. And two, if the Lord blesses you, use it wisely. Don't focus on it. Don't set yourself on it. Use it with wisdom. I still am committed to, and Noel and I are really committed to this. We give in multiple areas. We take care of what we consider home base, but we give in multiple areas. Right now, we're up to like 25 different ministries. We don't give a ton to each one because we can't. We can't afford that. But we give some to each one, and that's what the Lord wants us to do, and that's what we're doing. I love it because it makes giving more fun and interesting, but you know, we still take care of what we got to take care of. All right, so now going to verse 20, okay, and actually I'll finish off on this because it's really kind of interesting. It says, it's that they let them do good works, let them be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So the idea is to lay up a good foundation, lay stuff down now for that which is coming, because I guarantee you it's coming. All the different things people are saying that are going to happen to mankind, this will absolutely happen. If Jesus tarries, you will die and you will face God. That's going to happen. So you have to then be prepared or laying up foundational work prior to that as to where you stand in how you deal with his testimony. Of course, there's people that say, this is what God will say. What have you done with the testimony of my son? I don't know what God's going to say other than, you know, if you didn't believe, it's like, oh, not going good for you. That's kind of one thing we know for sure. Verse 20 in chapter 6. So, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Guard it. Avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. So what he says is, hey, guard this stuff. And that's something that Christians need to be aware of. The Lord has given you great elements of wisdom and insight in life. He's given you grace in certain situations. We already know from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the prayer from the author of Hebrews is that I come to the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and to find grace in my time of need. We already know that grace is situational as well as positional. And so what we understand is the Lord saying to us, hey, you got to hang on to that. You got to guard these truths. The Lord has bestowed upon us great truths, great principles, great understandings of his nature and his expectations of us. And the letter says, protect that. Now, why do you think that he's got to guard that? Why do you think Paul has to take the time to say to Timothy, guard what was committed to you? It's simple, because somebody's going to try and take it from him. And that's what the enemy tries to do for you. Even in Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul says, and Satan thwarted us. I mean, the enemy tries to do things to everybody. And so what we cannot afford to do is have a loss of the things that we need to safeguard. Keep them safe, keep them close to us, keep them a part of our lives and a part of our existence. And then he closes, and typically Paul closes maybe a little more positive note. Okay, but in this text, he closes with this. He goes, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. So there's a whole set of knowledge out there that acts, listen to this, that acts like they are the you know, the way, the truth, and the life, and they're not. And Paul tells Timothy in the letter, he's cautioning him. He said, look, there's individuals who engage in this excessive talk and contradictions based on what they consider knowledge. That's knowledge that is worldly, listen, centered around humanity. That's what Paul is calling false knowledge. False knowledge is knowledge that is centered around humanity. Why? Because it's focused on the creature, not the creation. And it's a lie, because without the fullness of the knowledge, it's a worshiping of man. It's like, uh-oh. So when it centers around humanity and when it makes humanity the center of the universe, it's a lie. And you know what that's like? Just so we can be on the same page. That's like the garden. Isn't it amazing how almost every sin always, always goes back to the garden? It's so weird, right? In the garden, you know, Adam and Eve, if you eat this fruit of the knowledge of tree of good and evil, you'll be just like God. We'll be important. Give me that fruit. Give me that fruit. Was it an apple? No, probably a pomegranate, but that's besides the point. The point is, Jacob's going, no, no. Well, that's what they had in that area that they think, but nobody knows. But
I'd rather have the apple.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think it'd be tough spitting out seeds. Anyway, all right, besides that point, swing and a miss if you try to center us around knowledge that exalts man. It's got to be the knowledge that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Get it? Okay. If you are in San Diego, you can keep listening with us by going to hemustincrease.org and hit the listen live button. That's all you got to do there. And then if you are in Dallas, you just got to hang out because the next hour is just going to be as strange as this was right here. We'll take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks a lot for all the blessings.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Do you think it's been, organizational leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, you know, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip. And in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David, alone, I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone, the question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question is, will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's, and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.